Yes, I of course don't feel any pressure since I just saw the pajamas presentation, so okay, I'll try to live up to it. Anyway, I have, this is Hypnotoad. He appeared last year, he will appear next year also. You will thank your NOC team.
Thank you, NOC team.
Thank you, NOC team.
Okay. So, as some of you may have heard, we in the recent years have been saying something about use more bandwidth. And and we have for years and years and years and years been saying use more bandwidth. I'm not going to say that this year. Because we actually hit more than 9 gigabits, you know. You can see over here. We have a maximum outbound of 9.76 gigabits. I think. So that's another thing that is actually super impressive about this. That is that we got a 3 gigabit connection from Global Connect. We're just happy that somewhere in the system there's a misconfiguration and we won't tell anyone. So apparently some people have heard our call for use more bandwidth and apparently it succeeded. I think this is very, very cool. We'll of course get a bit back to that. But first, let me show you what we did last year. Boo. Anyway. So, yes, there was some spike at, I don't know what happened, but the rest of the camp, this is 0.2G, right? 0.2. So let's compare it to what we've done this year. Oh, 0.2 would be here-ish, right? I think you heard our call and you came through and that's very, very cool. And as when we see a graph like this, you see that apparently some people have been playing and doing weird shit, and that's super nice. That's why we're here. And but also this background thing is actually noticeable, right? So if we look at the blue one, that is the uplink. That is just something running all the time, and that's basically I know what it is. We'll get to that later. But it's very cool, that's why we're here. So we have a couple of 100 megabits that is just used all the time, and then all the jitter is people doing weird shit, right? And then we have something like this. This would be in the middle of the night, for example. We don't have people using the network much. People are probably sleeping, but still there is some service running, and that's noticeable, and it uses more bandwidth than we did last year, than everybody did last year. So it's just, yes, thank you. Okay, and then back to our regular scheduled program. We, of course, here at Born Hack have a NOC team. That was a thing that I would very much like to mention because I find it to be really cool and it really worked for me this year. So what we basically did was that we had close to 3 teams that did some work. We had the AP people who set up these access points. You guys must have been walking so many kilometers, it's so cool. And then we had we have a couple of people setting up the setting up switches and what's it called, the turtles, we call them, the outside access point, not access points, points of presence. And then we have the people sitting comfortably in their tents or in the bar or wherever they sit comfortably and doing the server and the configuration. And then that was also me. I was, you know, I'm here today. This is what I do at Born Hack. I just say all the nice things and show you all the cool graphs. And basically, it's everybody else doing all the work. And I think you guys have done a kick-ass job this year. And I really want to hear a loud applause for the network team. Okay. So this talk is going to be structured completely like last year, where we start with all the core stuff. And so what I did is that I think, you know, when we arrive on camp, we have no internet and all that. And we need to spend some time getting the uplink up and running and yada, yada, yada. So I brought my 4G modem and hooked the server up. And this is the numbers I got, 12 megabit up and 1.5 megabit down. Oh, sorry, the other way around. And that's okay for installing, you know, a server or two or something, but we're so not gonna run the entire camp on this. But it is one of these things we have so that we actually have internet connection for the server so we can install the virtual machines. While people are in the field pulling cables and such, we can do our server stuff also. And that was very, very cool. And I think that was a good idea. I'm gonna do it again next year. And it was very nice. And but oh, yeah, I forgot this one. Leave it. But the thing that happened was that we actually had first light on Sunday at 1:04, which is 2 hours earlier or 3 hours earlier than we did last year. So we are kind of competing with ourselves on how fast we can get first light, so we know that everything is working. And that is nice. And the thing was that at that time we kind of we have this MX connector issue. If you're regulars, you have heard of MX connectors. We all know what it is now. It's wonderful for, I don't know, not us. But the thing is that these connectors, we actually bought a MX to LC connector, and we had that. That was last year. It was super nice, except it was a flange coupling, which kind of, you know, clunk, clunk. So we needed to get an extra cable, and luckily people save phone numbers for technicians in their phone book. So we basically called the same technician as last year and asked if we could borrow the same cable as last year. So, and that arrived, you know, later in the afternoon. And that's fine. So this first light we have here is, you know, fibers is something with light, right? So if you just align two fibers correctly and use a lot of duct tape, it works. Yes. And I think it's very cool, but and apparently Rudy was very happy with the attenuation and such. But we kind of decided not to, you know, we kind of fixed it with the proper cable later when it arrived, because, you know, that's how we work. But this thing about that we got first light at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, it actually turned out that we had internet at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So that, I think that's a massive record compared to what we had done before. So basically we had internet access in the middle of Sunday, so all my hard work with setting up a 4G modem, you know, my work, kind of not that applicable. But anyway, we're gonna bring next year anyway. But it appears that Global Connect has just left the circuit open for us, and configuration BGP and such, that was configured correctly, and it just worked. And that's very cool. So we have had the internet for a very long time on this camp. And then we, of course, have, just to go through the equipment we have and such, we have R31, which is our server room. I still think it's super fun to call it R31 because that was the first year we're here, we're using a grid system, right? And that was R31, which was the toilet building with a built-in server room. And I like our way of doing physical security. One of the days on camp, I kind of couldn't find anyone and, you know, needed a cable, so I can just, I'm not that small, right? But I could just easily fit through the door even though it was locked, so. Physical security, we love it. It might be applicable somewhere, but yeah, it's kind of just, we put in a chain to tell people don't go here. I'm pretty sure that some of you will be able to find a way in anyway. But as always, we have, it's actually a nice room we have there in R31 where we keep the door open because we actually have a lot of the computer equipment in there. And as you can see on the picture, we have a lot of crap. We have a couple of servers actually, and switches, and the thing on the floor would be a large MX. We also got some UPSs, which we kind of did not get to installing. Might be something we need to look into. But basically, this looks like it did last year, except we have more fiber this year. Okay, one of the things we got that was new is we got a new MX. That's a Juniper routing device. This is, as you can, this is the thing. It's don't carry it alone, you know. And this is a very big routing box. And what we have done this year is that we, of course, have a lot of 10 gig things going on, and this one can just handle it. And that's very cool, so we like this one. And this is something that Rudy has gotten his hand on and got some parts from Falco Networks. So that's very nice to, you know people who wants to contribute and help us. Should we give them a hand? Okay, there's another thing that we got this year, because most of, when you, as the user of this network, you, most of you have seen close to zero difference between this year and last year. But we have had, I would call it, a massive upgrade of our core infrastructure. So one of the things that happened was that we got some QFXs. Just like the MX is a big-ass routing box, then the QFXs are fiber switches. And so last year, people were saying, oh, we want 10 gigs in the tens. And I was thinking, yeah, about that, because the switches we use kind of don't have that many 10 gig ports. I was just counting all the people saying they wanted 10 gig and thinking this might become an issue. But then Juniper Lasse called from Roskilde Festival and said, we have two QFXs in spare. Do you want them? Yes. Thank you. Yeah, we need to pick them up before we do inventory. I don't ask why that was the case, but fine. So we got that organized. And I think this solved the issue I had with the 10 gig, number of 10 gig uplinks. So should we give them a hand also? It is actually some interesting equipment. I'm wondering how we're going to use it. But you see, this is massive amounts. It's that 48 ports for SPFs and SFPs? SFPs. SFP Plus. Yes, that's all mighty nice. They can do 10 gig or perhaps 20, I don't know. And these one over here are 40 gig optics ports, which is... Yeah, okay, fine. I think they might suit our need for, you know, a year or so. I don't know. If we compare the amount of bandwidth we use this year to last year, we are actually probably going to have an issue next year also. Anyway, this is very cool equipment. Yeah, okay. Let's do this one again. So what we did was that we actually put in one of these QFXs in the Labitat tent. In order to have, we had two QFXs, and it was not enough to have it in the tent, in the R31. So we needed somewhere to put it, so we put it in the Labitat tent in order for to give access to these ports to more people. And apparently Labitat, they, I think they at least have hooked up two things to that one. So I wonder what they are doing with 10 gig uplink. Okay. So fibers, this layout is very close to what we did last year, except that we had torque down here last time, but this one moved up here. So the distribution point was the camp last time, general camping, sorry. And this year it was the torque tent. And that just, it was basically the same for us. There is some things about the talk tent, about bandwidth and such, so they should have their own fiber connection. But since we, as I mentioned, have insane amounts of fiber ports available, all of these pops and a couple of people down here, they have their own fiber directly going to R31. You know, this is because we are, of course, not doing overkill here. But it's interesting that this gives us this star topology that we have been discussing. And so it means that if we lose power somewhere along the way, it doesn't affect the rest of the network. So if the pop at general camping dies, silent would still be functioning because it's just a passive connection going through, you know, this light thing with, right? And that's a really nice design, of course, provided that we don't break any cables. This is something that I'm getting more and more on my list because we've had zero cable related incidents in as long as I know, past years and years. It's just, so are we lucky, or is fiber is just that robust? Or, this is my favorite, I think we have super nice people showing up at Born Hack that likes this and take care of our equipment. I think that is super cool. And I think you should give yourself a round of applause for being so nice to our equipment. So I just pulled the stats, and we have rolled out 2.7 kilometers of fiber. Actually, that is the fiber that we have used. And it is from the two-dimensional upper view, which is the number I can get from my GIS program. We are doing 1.7 kilometers. But again, if there are any regulars, the first year we was here, we had this hashtag called too short. And that's because me looking at the maps, I'm always looking, you know, two-dimensional. And around here, the ground actually looks like this. So all my planning about which cables and fibers we needed for the first year was just so off that we kind of ditched it. And so this 1.7 kilometers is not true. It is way more than that. But the cable length combined would be 2.7. So that's nice. And it's good with some exercise when you go for a walk. And this is, of course, not including all the access points, because, yeah, you need to walk a lot for that. Anyway, lots of fibers. We like fibers. We do star topology. I'm a, what's it called? I'm a ring guy myself. But I kind of was convinced or vetoed or whatever it was that we are doing star topology. It's fine. You know, I'm just here to look pretty. And if they say, Morten, you're gonna look pretty if we do star topology, I'm gonna say, okay, fine. Okay, this is an abbreviation that we all know. It means fiber to the tent. And so we had, of course, we had this pixel flood and so on, and just we are in a position where we have a core infrastructure that is big enough to allow us to give whoever wanted it, basically, 10 gigs to their tents. Not that most people will actually, you know, kind of maybe need it, but hey, I'm lying here in my tent on my 10 gig connection. That's apparently something people like to say to people when they're on Twitter or whatever. That's fine. Let's do that. And I think it's cool also. It also means that when we have a camp like Pyjamas or Labitat or something that likes to experiment with weird shit, they can just get a 10 gig fiber. And the thing we could do this year was that it was a passive 10 gig fiber directly to R31. So it means that if they screwed up, not touching that. And that's fine, especially if they screwed up with power. If they screw up with other things, which we might see in a couple of slides, it might affect everybody. It's an interesting thing to give so many people so much bandwidth. Because we at the NOC team, we just say, yeah, you are nice people. We're of course not going to get any issues when you give people 10 gig. Of course we're not, because you behave, right? But it also is, so we have this structure where we have our the fibers with the Q of X that talks to the MX. And to get it up and running, we have set in one 10 gig connection. And when you look at such a fiber switch and you see, oh, there's 10-ish 10 gig fiber connection coming in, perhaps a 10 gig connection between the switch to the router might be just a tad optimistic. So we are doing, I think we end up in dual 10 gig between these two, and I'm pretty sure we want more next year, because now you know we have it, and apparently people have stuff that uses it. We're also routing Pixel Flute, which is, well, why not-ish? Okay. As always, we have got a huge pile of stuff from Event Infra. It has been an interesting thing this year, I think, for Rudy, because all this equipment we have, it was used on MCH. So when they were packing MCH, Rudy was there saying, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one. And then suddenly we have insane amounts of cable and fibers and switches and, you know, all the usual stuff we get from Event Infra. And that is very cool that we have this option. So I thank you to Eventin for. Yes. So when I look at our network and I look at our uplink fiber is 666 meters of well-armored fiber. It's just, why would I go get that? It's not something you go buy, but just, we can get that from Event Infra, and if we don't get it for some reason, then suddenly I have to, you know, earn my pay and figure out where to get shit. So let's hope we can keep getting that. We like Event Infra. They're also the ones with the torches and stuff. Okay, what else do we have? Non-core stuff. We have installed 32 access points. And that is nice. We had the access point guys walking around camp, sending stuff up left and right. And as always, I don't know if the last one was set up 2 days ago, but it's not. When you set up access point in a place like this, we have an idea where to set them up, and then suddenly reality hits. There's suddenly a lot of people there, or bad coverage there due to I don't know what. So we will update the where the access points are located during camp. Actually, we just add extra ones because we kind of have a lot this year. And then when I was, you know, I'm doing statistics and all these things, and I'm just looking at these 32 access points. This is the names of the access points. I think that it's on my list for next year that we should have a naming convention for access points so that we kind of know that access point whatever is residing over there and so on. It's just, right now it's just, yeah. Let's hope we can get where it is. Yes. We also, one of the reasons that we have access points. Well, first of all, we brought something like 30 from Event Infra, but Signout, he found 20 Aruba access points in the Templo Avis, which is, you know, used. And it's just, so, do you want that? Yeah. So we suddenly got 20 extra Aruba access points. So besides the 30 that Rudy brought, we are suddenly at 50. I think that's way enough, I'm trying to say. So thank you to Signout for organizing this. This is very nice. Thanks. And as always, we have Ekdot, who is somewhere in the back, setting out home lights. I like home lights. It's just, it's way cool. And for some reason, we're using a publicly accessible, internet accessible IP address for the controller of the home lights. What can go wrong? I think that's interesting in so many ways. But the point is that this is equipment that shows us if the switches are working, they give a good atmosphere to the field and such. I think it's just, we want that, and we want more of these. Thank you, 8Dot. And this is, there's just some random things happening when you're at Bornhag. So on the POC channel for the, what's POC? That would be phone operation center. Anyway, the one that also do decked phones. There was a question, I think it was Rudy who asked it, if we should get a 4G connection or an LTE network on camp. And I think that's a super nice idea. So as I was walking over there somewhere, some random dude asked, do you have a GPS antenna for an NTP server? What? And of course I do. So it's one of my pet projects that I have in a box. So it turned out that apparently you need a super precise NTP system in order to have LTE working. And so we have LTE working in that part of the camp over there. I have no idea how it works. But it basically, to me, it's a proof of concept that maybe next year we want LTE all over the place. Am I getting eye contact with anyone who's nodding? Okay, fine. No, it's one of these things. I've been looking at these decked phones and I'm thinking it's much easier for me to find a good normal mobile phone than it is for me to find a good decked phone. And if it's all local, that could be really nice. And of course, I took a picture of the LTE device because Isn't it obviously an LTE antenna we have there? Yeah. I think less proficient people might just see it as a white box and not just as not an LTE thingy, but yeah, but we're pros here, right? But it's very interesting. It's so this Raspberry Pi just has a shield on it, and then you can hook in the GPS thing, and then some software can do extremely precise clocks for this. Very nice. Okay, and then we have a little thing that I found to be super interesting. That was again Signout. He had heard our call about use more bandwidth. So he basically brought his Synology box and hooked it up to the network, and that is the thing that is doing this 250, 300 megabit upload steady state the past week. So this box is using more bandwidth than we did last year, all of us. I think nice going, Signout. Yes, I think that is super cool. It's just, and it's simple. Yeah, no mind. Okay, what else do we have? Yes, as always, I have my own way of spelling pixelflute because, I don't know, it's just a weird word. So when I was doing this slide, because we have pixelflute, and actually there was a mention of this in the talk by the game team, and there are some really nice things that happened this year that we could actually see the talks from the stream. It got piped into Pixelflood full screen. I'm thinking, someone is probably using bandwidth for that. As you can see, this is something that it's taken while, it's a picture I took while there was Hacker Jeopardy. And then, of course, because it's Pixelflood, we have this apparently background thingy, and then another person wanted to put in a picture of a tent, and what's that? I don't know. Okay, but it's moving over the screen, and it's pretty or something. But that's Pixelflood for you, and of course the mandatory NemID login screen. I just, yeah, fine. So, Pixelflood, it's apparently a thing, that's fine. So what I did when I wanted, let's get some, what's called metrics for this. So I went to the, it's a Brocade switch that's up there in the bar. And I found that it was using, so this is inverted. So here you have that it's using a steady state. It's receiving these 7.4 gigabits, right? And that was the first, so when I made these slides, I found that one, I thought 7.4, yeah, okay. Fine, but it looked like more, but you know, 7.4, it's fine. And then there was this talk by the game people, and they said 25 gigs, and I said, yeah, I probably need to go check my graphs again then. And it was just silly me, because I just found this one. This is a 40 gig interface, and I thought that they only used one 40 gig interface for Pixelflood. It was just, apparently you use dual 40 gig for Pixelflood, because, yeah, okay. This is, that surprised me. I know this for next time. That was funny. It was just dual 40 gig. Just, yeah, as I said, we have access to a certain amount of bandwidth, and that is apparently being used a lot. That's very cool. Okay, so you might remember last year where Kramse had a very successful denial of service workshop. It was a very cool thing that kind of took down the entire network. And that was, we decided not to do that this year. So how can we take down the network if we are not using a denial of service workshop? I'm looking at you, Levitate. So one thing you could do is to, you know, multicast video all over the place. And it's just, yeah. Multicast is evil, just. So it broke a lot of things, and some people called someone, and then it suddenly stopped when some people had a chat with someone. And then we have Pixelflood. This is actually, the picture is from the second incident. Red means full, just saying, if you had doubts. So let's just do a quick analysis of this drawing. Okay. So let's start a random place. That is actually pumping 97% of its capacity, it's a 10 gig connection, into the network, and then a similar number appears on all the other ones. Makes you wonder what's going on, right? It was an interesting problem that I haven't encountered before. The thing is that when you have a normal switch, right? It monitors the traffic and it knows which MAC addresses are on which port, and that way it knows to route stuff left and right so it doesn't ship everything everywhere. But the first time it sees a MAC address, it doesn't know where to ship it, so it ships it on all ports. It falls back to, let's call it hop mode, which is mighty nice. Pixel flood, where you pump out insane amounts of gigabits of traffic, is a one-way thing where you're just sending UDP packages. So what if the server that is sending has a higher timeout than the switch? It means that the server knows the MAC address of the IP it's trying to send to, but the switch forgets it. What happens then? Then you get this. Because there's no traffic going back from the pixel flood server. It's not talking to anyone. So the switch does not learn where the MAC address is. It's just, okay. So if we set up a thing that pings every, I don't know, minute, we would not have this. It was a weird issue, and I think we need to analyze it a bit to ensure that it doesn't happen again, because pixel flood is, in my opinion, an evil protocol. It's just, think of all the CO2 you're burning off while sending all the, never mind, I don't care actually. But it's a weird protocol that you are just pumping so much data in one way and never getting anything back. It's worse than streaming services and such. They are shipping a lot back. Anyway, cool. As I mentioned, we have a 3 gig connection from Global Connect, right? I'm pretty sure that we don't have a 3 gig connection. I'm pretty sure. And that's it's an interesting thing, because when you order a 3 gig connection, the hardware is actually 10 gig, and then normally, or not normally, I don't know, they write somewhere in a switch or something that we should cap this at 3 gigabit. But apparently misconfiguration and such. Yes, I was looking at this graph. When we got to this part here, I was looking at that. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Oh, something's happening. Have pajamas started their system now? It turned out it would be some benchmarking Labitat tent. Okay, fine. And I thought, okay, that's okay. They're using 1 gig here, 2 gig, 1 gig down, 2 gig up. That's okay, right? And then a bit later, I says, oh, okay, fine. They turned on something extra. And that's very cool. This was Labitat playing with, I actually don't know, but it's probably benchmarking because... iPerf, yes. The good thing about speed testing big connections is that you move a lot of data and it's basically useless. Unless, of course, you speed tests. which looks like this. This is not speed test. This is apparently 10 Raspberry Pis doing iPerf or speed test or something. So I'm thinking, do you remember before? Let's go back before. This is Labitat playing, right? And this is Pajamas playing. You don't have a competition, do you? If you look at the number down here, 9.76 gigabits. I think it's going to be very hard to get. This is 5 minutes averages. This is not peaks. This is not maximum values for a second or something. This is 5 minutes averages. I'm pretty sure we're never going to see 10 on this one. I think this is so close to max that it's. I think we can conclude that we actually did fill all the uplink, sorry, download capabilities on this camp. All 10 gigs.
The 20 second averages is peaked out at 9.961.
Okay. I think that's close enough to 10 gigs for me. So now I can go to Tückling and say, look, Tückling, we obviously need 10 gig. maybe not, but anyway. So, this is what happened over there at the end was that apparently someone could not install our Linux server, so somebody talked to Pyjamas about stopping something, and then suddenly we had a drop of 8 gigabits per second. So it might have been Pyjamas doing these things. Anyway. Sorry?
What about the beer that was promised?
Let me get back to that one. That's actually what I'm going to close off by. Fine. This is actually the last slide, apparently. Okay, so we had this agreement with Pyjamas about filling the bandwidth with bandwidth usage for the common good we agreed on. And very intentionally, it was just super vague because I saw what they were doing last year and just let them do their thing, see what happens. It's but apparently, because I actually know that using a lot of bandwidth just for single services, actually not that simple, unless you do speed tests. That's just a sure way of using insane amounts of bandwidth, and it's just, yeah. It's not, it's in my opinion, it's just a waste, and it's close to how I feel about Pixel Flood. It's just, oh, it's just so stupid. Come on. But it's on the internal network, and nice, it's okay. We can test if the equipment can actually handle all this light and nothing leaks out or blinds people or something. So let's send a lot of packages that way, and as long as it's internal, I don't care. I just think people really like it, so that I think it's lame is just me not understanding what all the young people want in this world or something. So this thing about bandwidth uses for the common good, when we see what the torrent did, I think that would be common good, but if you set something up, a torrent that pulls 10 gigs, let's just, yeah, about that. So we have not been throttling anyone this year. We need to do a bit, the core switch, the QFXs need a firmware upgrade that we're gonna do after camp, so that next year we can have some solid quality of service, so that we can just say, this is for normal people, this is for the talk tent, this is for the NOC team, prioritize them, you know, all the important parts. And then everybody with 10 gigs to their tents, hey, good, do your thing. And that's something we're gonna set up next year. So, but looking at what the Pyjamas did, I was looking at the graphs thinking, now they turned it on. I was just so sad that you didn't succeed in your little pet projects. I was just so sad that it didn't happen. So. But it's just, it's fine, we can call it competition, so we won by having a misconfiguration at the Global Connect. Yeah, okay, fine. If we did not have that misconfiguration, you guys would have been able to use your Raspberry Pi system to actually saturate the system. I think that would be interesting to see. So next year, I really want you guys to try again. I think I perhaps need to discuss this a bit with Orca or the other NOC team, but this could actually be a recurring competition. I would have no issues with that. So we could use all this bandwidth for something good that benefits the world and go for it, right? So actually, the last question here is, most of you have also saw the talk by Asbjørn about what Pyjamas did. So should they get a consolation prize? What do you think?
Yes.
As opposed to popular belief, I actually organized this a week ago because I truly believed in you guys, but this is a prize that you can get anyway. Yes. So let's see if we have this recurring competition. And if it becomes a recurring competition, I think that there might actually be configuration stuff for the NUC team to do, also known as work. Sorry, guys. Yeah, silly me. Oh, that's poor management, Morten. Yeah, okay, fine. Anyway, that was what I wanted to talk about in this presentation. Do you guys have any questions?
Glad to see the network team declaring war against one village and then bribing them with Silverblüter, but let's take some questions here.
This is Bonhack.
I didn't see the numbers, but how much did we download in total over the duration of Bonhack?
Yes, I actually found that graph 2 seconds. It actually on the very first slide. So it's here. Total of 92 terabytes. This was last evening. So we have 60 terabytes inbound and 30 terabytes outbound. It's a bit more than I use at home. Repeat, please. Yes.
The NUC team told Pyjamas to stop. How is that not winning?
It's because we had a discussion about this. It had to be bandwidth usage for the common good, not just bandwidth usage. And this thing about running speed test to see if you could reach 10 gig is not for the common good. So I'm pretty sure that we are aligned on this one. So there was nobody complaining when we told them to stop it because they knew that.
Just we expect to have these QFXs next year, and we will probably have 10G ports enough for just about everyone that needs it. So bring 10G switches next year. You should expect that it's a single mode fiber, and you should bring that yourself. And then if you can bring two optics, then you are insured a port, because then we have the ports available. But at least bring 10G switches with two optics, one single mode fiber, and if you have a 100 meter cable, that should be enough. And I will make sure to bring at least 20 10G ports for the party area. Yeah. So if you want to be insured to have 10G, come to the party area.
Yes.
Any other questions?
Fiber to the tent for the win.
Yes. Let's give a huge round of applause to the network team.